This afternoon, as we continue our study on the Kingdom series, we last week began to look at the design of the kingdom of Satan. We see from our last outline on page 11, Satan's building material was all the kingdoms that we read about in Daniel 2:44. And I also have at the bottom of page 11, Daniel 2:45, a passage we're going to read, and then we'll go to our 12th, page 12 and on in our outline. "For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, brass, clay, the silver, and the gold." I give you a little diagram there just below that. The iron and clay, which is represented by the time. You remember it's time, times, and dividing a time. I'm just trying to put all this together for you. The time, times, and dividing a times is what's known as the times of the Gentiles. Why? Because Babylon, the halftime, it was Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar that invaded Israel, Judah in particular, and there you have, through his invasions, the destruction of the temple and the carrying away of the people of Jerusalem and Judah. And the time of the Gentiles began. I know it's generally taught that that's not even started yet, but in reality, biblically, that's when it actually, the clock began on the time of the Gentiles, during that half a time. I've laid out here, the time is represented by Rome, which is also, in Daniel 2:45, represented by the iron and clay. And this is not just Rome, but under the forms of leadership of Rome, which we'll get into a little bit deeper in a moment. The times is always represented by Greece and Persia, which in Daniel 2:45 would be the brass and silver. And the gold, or the halftime, would be Babylon. And you see that mentioned in chapter 2, verse 45 of Daniel. That is the iron, clay, brass, silver, and gold. What you read about each one of these kingdoms is a description of the kingdom represented by each precious metal or stone. The gold, Babylon; silver, Persia; brass, Greece; and iron and clay, Rome. I've always told you that pertaining to the revelation of the Antichrist, the revealing of the Antichrist, it will occur, just as the Bible says in 1 John, at the last time, meaning the Antichrist will not be revealed during the time frame of Babylon, and it wasn't, or Persia or Greece during those times. But the last time is when the Antichrist would be revealed, and that's during the time of Rome. Now, most everyone's going to agree with that. Where we all disagree, primarily, is the timing of the Antichrist being revealed. I think it's common knowledge that the gold represents Babylon. Now, the time, times, and dividing a time is not. Nobody hardly agrees with that, but that's okay. It's the gold, silver, brass, and iron and clay, each one of these represented by a government. That's pretty standard through all eschatology. But what differs is, again, the times of the Gentiles, the time, and dividing of times, the half a time rather, times dividing, and the last time. These are outlines for us, given to us by God, to show when this will begin, during the halftime of, or the midway of the reign of Babylon, through the second coming, which would close out the last time, the single time, the time of the iron and clay, and that would be Rome. Now, Daniel chapter 2, verses 37 through 43. Let's read this, and you're going to hear each one of these being mentioned, the gold and the iron and the clay and so forth. Let's just read it so you can kind of feel comfortable. Although we're not teaching the book of Daniel, and we could spend quite a while in a series on the book of Daniel. Let's just read verses 37 through 43. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. The Lord's kingdom is always looked at or viewed as single kingdom. It's a kingdom of God. Anywhere that it may be translated or written kingdoms is improper. There would be no reason to make it plural. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thy hand, and hath made thee ruler over them. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and a third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. Now, basically, what Daniel is teaching in this, interpreting in this dream, and it's also again in the seventh chapter of Daniel, is it is a condensed version of the kingdom of Satan. It is a detailed description, a condensed detailed description of the kingdom of Satan. A more full description is given in other places in the Bible, like the book of Revelation, where you'll find a seven-headed beast or an eight-headed beast in some places. And that is a more full description of the kingdom of Satan. But here, Daniel describes a condensed version of Satan's kingdom. And he reveals that Satan will hijack these governments. First, Babylon. And under Nebuchadnezzar's rule, it was Nebuchadnezzar that invaded Judah and took captive the inhabitants of Jerusalem and Judea. So that is a truth. Satan was involved in that. And that's when the times of the Gentiles began. After the times, or after thee, after the time of Babylon, shall rise another kingdom inferior to thee. Not as strong, powerfully, and in might, but it is Persia. It's actually Medo-Persia. There is a chapter dedicated to the description of Medo-Persia and the laws of the Medes and Persians in the book of Daniel. We just don't have the time to go there. And then after that kingdom, of which Satan has designed his kingdom to be built on, a third kingdom, verse 39, of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth, and that is Greece. Now, Greece was the kingdom in power before Rome defeated it. Greece had well-noted leadership. Alexander the Great, he was one of the two, and Antiochus Epiphanes was one of the other great leaders of Greece. Now, I'll give you this. This really has nothing to do with our study today, but I want you to store it in the back of your mind because it could confuse you in the future. We're going to begin to discuss about the little horn. And the little horn is the key when it rises up. That's the key to find out when and where the Antichrist comes from, what time he comes and where he comes from, with this exception. There are two little horns described in the Bible. Actually, both of them are described in the book of Daniel. One little horn is in reference to Greece. There's a little horn that rises out of Greece. This is not the Antichrist that we're speaking of. It has nothing to do with the Antichrist in relation to our time period, the last time, the time we live in. But there was such a strong leadership coming up out of Greece that he was described as a little horn or a little power that rose up. I don't want to, there's a chapter dedicated to that in the book of Daniel, but our focus is upon the last time, the time of Rome, and the little horn that rises out of that kingdom, the kingdom of Rome. Now, let's go on. It says, verse 40, "And the fourth kingdom, which is Rome, shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou saw the feet and toes, parts of the potter's clay and part of iron," so we're talking about 10 toes. Now this is just a further description, a detailed description of the kingdom of Satan, a certain segment of it. It is equivalent in Revelation to the 10 horns that's on the last head of the beast in Revelation. It's just described two different ways, but when you see the word 10 in Daniel or in Revelation, whether it be 10 toes or whether it be 10 horns, it's the same. It's a detailed description of the same kingdom, Satan's kingdom, and how from this, these governmental powers, these 10 toes and 10 horns, it's how the little horn comes up out of the midst of these toes or out of the midst of these horns. So in Daniel, "Whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of the potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they mingled themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay." Now, this is something that's fundamental to the kingdom of Satan. Just because all of these government powers are involved in producing the same thing, the Antichrist, the little horn, it doesn't mean that they all get along. They never have. And it doesn't mean that these government powers are always going to be in agreement with this little horn that rises up out from amongst them, which is the home and office of the Antichrist. He don't have to get along with all these governmental powers for it to work this way. Why? Because this is the way Satan designed his kingdom. It will work for a time. It will last for a time. And then the Bible says in Revelation, Babylon the Great is fallen. It has been prophesied that the kingdom of Satan will be destroyed. And it's also prophesied back in chapter 2, verse 45, which says in the first part of that, "For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces, the iron, brass, clay, silver, and gold." Well, I can tell you, this stone it represents the kingdom of God, and this is the manifestation of it at the second coming, and it will break in pieces all of these kingdoms that have been a part of Satan's kingdom in its design, in its formation, in its progress to making it become what it is today, a very powerful, ungodly organization. So let's go a little farther on page 12. I'm not going to read all of the last part of page 12. I do have this tagged here as advanced. It does get into a lot of detail that you can read it for yourself at some time. But if I begin, I'm not going to finish what I want to finish. So what this does is just a few lines that I've put here to help explain the details of what you're about to learn pertaining to the revelation of the little horn. So, if you would, turn to page 13 and we'll spend the rest of our time here on page 13. What you're going to notice first of all, and I have it on the board a little bit larger there, if you want to look at it. I've taken this from Revelation 13. I could also take this from Daniel chapter 2. The difference between chapter 13 and Revelation and chapter 2 of Daniel, both of these are descriptions of the kingdom of Satan, but the one in Revelation is a fuller picture. The one in Daniel is a condensed picture. The one in Daniel only describes four beasts, which is the last four beasts. The one in Revelation also described the first three beasts, which would be the first head in Revelation 13:1. Let's read that. "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns." Now what you'll go on if you continue reading is you'll find that these seven heads were upon, these ten horns rather, were upon the seventh head. It's not like that they were scattered. They all were on the seventh head. I lay out for you what these seven heads are in Revelation 13, and in there you're going to find the four that were described in Daniel chapter 2. The first head, which would be the first Gentile government that is recognized here, power that is Satan uses because of its power and influence, its might back in its day, is Egypt. And you're also going to find, which will, when we get into the theology of Satan's kingdom, the doctrine of Satan's kingdom, you're going to find that paganism has found itself seated in Egypt. And then the empire of Egypt is defeated by Assyria. Now you'll note Assyria is the enemy of the northern kingdom. You remember after Solomon, the kingdom of Israel divided into the northern and southern kingdom, and it wasn't too long, within the next 200-300 years, that Assyria led captive the northern kingdom. And then from that point, another 200-300 years later, then Nebuchadnezzar invades southern kingdom, Judah and Jerusalem, destroys it, and takes them captive. Well, Assyria, this is the Assyria that invaded back in the 700-800 B.C., the northern kingdom. And they became a great nation, the great Gentile nation of their day. And they were defeated by the Babylonian Empire, which is where Daniel picks up. Daniel don't explain. He don't have to. the meat of his message about Satan's kingdom is found in these four kingdoms that he has listed: Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. And in Revelation 2, he even breaks down between iron and clay. So he breaks down Rome, the last government, and kind of gives us a few details about how Rome is ruled the last time, during the time of Christ and right on up till today. So, in number three, Babylon defeats Assyria. Number four, Persia eventually defeats Babylon, which is a lesser, as we read in Daniel 2, it's a lesser nation, an inferior nation, but it defeats Babylon. It has a purpose to fulfill. It is a part of Satan's kingdom. He designed so that it would become the powerful machine that it is. And then Greece would defeat Persia. And Greece, really, under the military might of some of these men, Alexander the Great, so forth, they really expanded the territory. And if you spend time in Daniel, it explains that to us, how that Greece expands its territory. And then when Rome defeats Greece, it has all of this territory that's already been gained, and it takes over as the government, the Gentile government. It is the last formal government power of Satan's kingdom. It is the sixth and seventh head in Revelation. It is the fourth beast of Daniel 2. Now, the reason in Revelation it is both sixth and seventh is because Revelation explains details that Daniel don't. However, I want to read Daniel chapter 7, verse 8. Daniel chapter 7, verse 8 actually gives us a detail of Rome, the last governmental power. You're going to recognize the difference between the sixth and seventh head in Revelation. Are you going to recognize the difference between the iron and clay, between the descriptions of Rome in Daniel, by who is leading Rome? What's the powers leading Rome? From the get-go, when Rome defeats Greece, Rome is run by emperors called Caesars. And these Caesars rule this government, Rome, up until a certain point in history. And that happens to be at 476 AD. Romulus Augustus is the last Caesar that's ever lived. And he was removed, and the power that come in to rule the empire, Roman Empire, was called in the Bible, and it's also called the same thing in secular writings, encyclopedias and so forth, Germanic tribes. Germanic tribes, they're sometimes noted as barbarian tribes, but these tribes took over Rome, the Roman Empire, after the fall of the last Caesar in 476. Now, this is very important because now what we've done is in 476, when these Germanic tribes invade Rome and they begin to take control, this is the fulfillment of the prophecy of the ten horns in Revelation and the ten toes in Daniel chapter 2. And I've listed for you the ten toes, or the ten horns, that has come from the seventh head, which is the last of the seven, the head, the seventh head, which is Rome under the Germanic tribes. I've listed these Germanic tribes for you. Now here's what Daniel says in Daniel 7:8. I considered the horns, the ten horns, and behold, there come up among them another little horn. This little horn, you'll find out, is the Antichrist, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the root. I'll explain that in just a moment. Now, what do you get when you walk into any other Baptist church? Here's what you get. Well, it looks like Daniel saw a prophecy of the horns and the little horn coming out of the midst of the ten horns. But that don't start, that don't happen until the seven-year tribulation. And so Jack Van Impe's made $1 million or more off of saying what? All you evangelicals, keep your eyes on Europe. And when you see the ten nations in Europe, when you see the ten countries of Europe come together and they form this new world order, and it's going to be made of, he's going to say it's going to be made of ten nations, you can rest assured that the little horn, the Antichrist, is going to come up out of that. Do you know that Jack Van Impe's visited Baptist churches that we have associated with in the past? This is how ungodly things are. Jack Van Impe has no clue, because Jack Van Impe is a dispensationalist. And he has pushed all of this off to a disclosed time in the future, disclosed as the seven-year tribulation, which don't exist. If you follow reasonably the outline of the scriptures and you see that the seventh head has ten horns on it, and Daniel says, I consider the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, which is the Antichrist, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. So what that tells us, when the fourth horn or the fourth Germanic tribe, when the fourth government takes over, it's in that fourth government that the Antichrist is going to come up and come out. Now, let's use the board. It's the same thing that's on your paper. Let's just look at the board a second and let's go through these Germanic tribes. These are the ten horns that's on the seventh head of this beast that comes out of the sea in Revelation 13. You can also find this same beast in other chapters in Revelation, and maybe a couple other chapters, or maybe even twice, I believe, in chapter 13. So it's in there, and it's pretty descriptive. And this is a pretty full picture of Satan's kingdom. So here's what happens. This is all you have to do to understand when the Antichrist was revealed. This is all you have to figure out. You have to figure out what the seven heads are. And as I said, most of Baptists agree with the seven head issue. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, and then Rome under the Germanic tribes. What we disagree on is the timing and the ten horns or the ten toes. All of that is pushed off to the future. But you can't if you follow the outline given to us by Daniel in Revelation. So, when is Assyria going to come in effect? Well, when it defeats Egypt, not a day before. When is Babylon going to come in as the governmental power and Satan is going to rule in Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar and all of these others? The day it defeats Assyria, not a minute before. Same thing with Persia. Persia's got to defeat Babylon. Greece has got to defeat Persia. This seems pretty simple, don't it? Rome has to defeat, and history shows that Rome invades and defeats Greece. And now the Roman Empire, during the time or ministry of Christ, is the ruling empire. That's why in the death of Christ, you have some Jewish leadership but you also have the overseers as the Roman leadership. Paul went to Rome, and he felt the wrath of the ruling emperors of that day. And during the time of Christ, it was the sixth head. In Revelation, the sixth head was in charge. The seventh head hasn't appeared yet during the ministry of Christ. 476 A.D., which is approximately what? 440 years after the death of Christ, give or take a couple of years. The seventh head comes into power because the Caesars stopped ruling in 476. Romulus Augustus, the last Caesar, ceases his reign in the Roman Empire. And the Herules, or He Rules, it could be, I've heard it pronounced two different ways, this Germanic tribe invades Rome, the Roman Empire, and in 476, this tribe comes into power. The Caesars are gone. Now who rules the Roman Empire? This tribe does. And they rule it until 493. Now let's remember, what did Daniel say in chapter 7, verse 8? I considered the horns. The first horn in 476, he gave consideration to. The second horn, the Ostrogoths, defeat the Herules in 493, and now this tribe, the Ostrogoths, rule the Roman Empire. What does Daniel say? I considered the horns. And behold, there come up among them another little horn. Well, nothing's happened this time because the prophecy says that before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up. So the Ostrogoths were defeated by the Lombards in 576 AD, and the Lombards were controlling the Roman Empire. Yet, no sign of a little horn. And then in 756 AD, the Franks, which is associated with France, the Franks, that tribe invades, and now the Franks rule the Roman Empire. But something happens during the reign of the Franks. In 576 through 578 AD, there is a little horn that comes up out amongst them. One, it fulfills the prophecy perfectly of Daniel 7:8, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And the Franks, when they were in control, the previous three tribes had been destroyed. They were no longer ruling. When the Franks became ruler, there come out of the Franks a little horn. It was what is recognized today. There's different names used, but what is recognized today is the Papal States. It's kind of a country within a country. And this little horn, and you just go back and you check the original, the origin of the Vatican, the origin of the Papal States, and you're going to find these dates because, and I can bring in encyclopedias for you and you can read it, and it goes right along with the prophecy here of Revelation 13 and the prophecy of Daniel when he says, I considered the horns. And there came up among them another little horn, the Antichrist. Now, eventually, and I don't have the dates for the rest of them wrote up there, but the Burgundians defeated the Franks eventually. The Visigoths defeated the Burgundians. The Jutes defeated the Visigoths. The Anglo-Saxons, that would be us in England, the Anglo-Saxons defeat the Jutes. The Vandals defeat the Anglo-Saxons, and the Alemanni defeat the Vandals. And there is now settled in this area of Europe. You do have different nations there, but in the establishment of these governments to what we have today, this is the process. This is the linkage. This is the genealogy of the governments that have come and gone in power, and it is these governments that Satan used to build his kingdom on. What else could he have used? What else could he have hijacked to become as successful as he is? How successful is he? The Bible in the New Testament says that Satan is the god of this world. How could he have become as successful as he is and chose any other way to build his empire? Now, what we find is that as far as the kingdom of Satan is concerned, it's settled with these Germanic tribes. It settled itself down with one administration office. It settled itself with one government, and that was the Little Horn. This little bitty old government that comes up out of the Franks, the Germanic tribe, and it settles itself there in Italy, known as the Papal States, and it has its own government and so forth, and you can read all about it, all kinds of books on it that give accurate detail about how Vatican City and the Papal States exist within Italy and so forth. And from this time, you have the official revelation of the Antichrist, because the leadership, the head of the Little Horn or the Papal States or the Vatican is who? The Pope. Now, I want you to tie something together and we'll close with this. And that is, you remember back when we studied the mystery series and we looked in Thessalonians where Paul said in chapter 2, he said, there's a mystery of iniquity that doth now already work. Well, there had been that mystery of iniquity affecting the First Baptist Church at Thessalonica. But that iniquity continued to work in the Lord's churches, and it invaded the First Baptist Church at Rome, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, the book that to the church that Paul was involved in Rome. Now, this church at Rome, originally a Baptist church, apostatized. For only Baptists can apostatize. You have to have the original. You have to have the original authority. You have to have the original doctrine to leave it. And a Protestant can't apostatize because they never had it to begin with. They never had authority and they never had the true doctrine. But Baptists, such as the First Baptist Church at Rome, did eventually apostatize. And this is where, in this church, this is where the Pope has set up his throne in the old Baptist Church at Rome that has now apostatized and it's got a new name. What is it? The Holy Roman Catholic Church. They just took Baptist off the door. They put their own name up there, and now you have the father, the Catholic Church, the father of, or well, it's not really father, it'd be mother, because she's referred to as a whore, the mother of all Protestant churches, the mother of Islam, the mother of all of these heresies. And what we're going to do in the next week or two is we're going to discuss the doctrine of the kingdom of Satan. And we're going to follow where it began, paganism. I'll go ahead and give you that. The theology or the doctrine of the kingdom of Satan is paganism. Where it began and where it rests today. Where you can find the roots of paganism today. And I don't think you'll have to stretch your mind to figure out that it began in old Babylon with Nimrod, and it run its course through Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome under both rulers, and settled in this little horn, the Papal States, now known as the Vatican, and where they hijacked the First Baptist Church at Rome and now call itself the Holy Roman Catholic Church. And I'll give you some literature where they, the Roman Catholic Church, sang praises of their paganism. And all of this, Satan's kingdom, was cunningly devised. It was well designed to last for a while. It wasn't designed well enough to last forever, but it was designed well enough to get its goal accomplished. Satan is the god of this world, and the Pope is the papa of all of Christianity, he claims. And he has told Baptist churches, if you were in my afternoon class, he told Baptist churches nearly 500 years ago what they're going to believe, and guess what? 500 years later, they believe it. They believe that dispensational stuff. They believe what Baptist churches do not believe in universal church. What Baptist churches do not believe in free will. Even Calvinistic churches that hold to the doctrines of grace believe in the free agency of man. They won't call it free will, but they got another name for it. So, if you don't think that the Pope is the Antichrist and all this has worked through this scheme to get where we're at today, stay tuned and we'll just add a lot more proof on top, forensic proof actually, on top of what we've established here in Daniel chapter 2, chapter 7, and Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. Next week I will hand you a chart. It is a comparison of the two visions in Daniel, the second chapter vision and the seventh chapter vision, so that you can kind of put them together. And it's going to be a vision about the four government powers, the four beasts, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome, and their descriptions given to us by Daniel the prophet.